This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It's now 7:36 on Friday, the 29th of July. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Khoo Soo Chuang and Julian Ng here with me. Jules, what news do we have coming up in the next half an hour?
Well, we got a lot of results, actually, especially the tech results in the States. And locally, we also have results from Tanaga and Public Bank. But the biggest news today is actually what's happening to this offshore marine company in Singapore called Swiber.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's start there. That's in Singapore. Swiber has filed for liquidation in the face of hundreds of millions of dollars of debt and a decline in orders. This is the biggest Singapore oil company to fall victim to the slump in oil prices.
That's right. Offshore and marine companies are a very prominent feature in the Singapore listed market as well as in the business and industry. So Swiber, along with other big offshore and marine companies like Sembcorp Marine, Sembcorp Industry, which incidentally is owned by Temasek, and also the others, E-Zion, Ezra and so on, all these, I think, add to the woes of the banking industry over there in Singapore because they have lent a lot of money to the offshore and marine sector.
Just to tell you how bad it is, Swiber's share prices have slumped nearly 90% since in the past 2 years. That's a huge fall in profits. And you're right, Jules, the exposure Singapore banks have to these oil and gas companies are, I think, top of investors' minds.
Yeah, a bit like the Monster.com fall as well. But look, I mean, DBS has something like 700 million Sing exposed to just this one company, but they've also come out to say that only half of it will be kind of impaired because the other half is provided for. But it's quite bad because when you magnify out into the larger picture, not only are Malaysia and Singapore banks exposed to the energy sector, which is, you know, distressed clearly, but it's a global issue, and it could be as much as $3 trillion, not to the oil and gas sector, but $3 trillion in potentially distressed assets, loan assets globally. Lending to the energy sector, lending to the energy sector alone totals around $3 trillion globally. So it's a big monumental, you know, potential domino effect, which is yet another thing.
Because if you look at the world, if you look at the amount of loans that were exposed to the subprime sector in 2008, that was just $1 trillion. And today, this $3 trillion that you're talking about is, of course, three times of that. My math is quite good.
Yeah, better than mine.
Yeah. But, so that's the world. And then we talked about Singapore's exposure. Are things as bad in Malaysia? Are Malaysian banks as exposed to the slump in oil prices in the oil and gas sector?
According to Maybank, 46 selected oil and gas related groups have about 51 billion ringgit in terms of exposure, which is only about 3.6 of total banking system loans in the country. So that's
is that
okay.
A lot? Okay, that's not a
3.6,
lot.
3.6, I don't think
that's
so.
That's not,
Jules,
so bad,
yeah?
Right? Okay.
It's not so bad. And if you look at, if Sapura Kanchana is anything to go by, and we'll cover that news later, they've been bagging contracts. So I think largely the worry and caution in the Malaysian banking sector has, we have tied over that. But in Singapore, I think the Swiber incident will just start to worry people, investors a little bit more. If you look at DBS, they have the highest exposure to the oil and gas sector at about 11% of the loan book. OCBC themselves, 8% of the loan book, and UOB the smallest at less than 5%.
Yeah, okay. So much more than Malaysia, which is said to be, you know, and the thing is, our currency gets hit because it's seen as an oil currency.
Right.
But our banking loan exposure is one third the size of Singapore's blended average.
And also, I think on the Swiber situation, there are also a lot of bonds in the Singapore oil and gas industry alone. There is an exposure of about 1.2 billion Sing dollars worth of bonds. Swiber themselves have about half a million of those bonds. And Swiber is actually no small company because they started with 10 vessels back in 2006. A few years later, they ended up with about 51 vessels with 2,700 employees. So they weren't a small player. So I guess this is an example of the kind of confidence that oil and gas companies had in the oil sector, right. And they kind of over-invested into it. And subsequently, we know that the rest is history.
Yeah, but I mean, compared to, say, one of the larger players, because, you know, at their peak, I think, in 2014, Swiber was only had, worth about 170 million Sing. and it's worth $50 million now. So yeah, I mean, it's not a billion. It's not a unicorn billion-dollar company.
That's right. And they were banking on a few major projects to tie them through. One was a $710 million project in West Africa, and the other one was a share sale agreement to raise about $200 million. That's about almost $1 billion to tie them over. And so those things that didn't happen.
All that combined with the fact that they have bonds due coming up this year and next, so they've just decided to file for liquidation now. That's another big casualty in the oil and gas sector. But you mentioned, Jules, that there were lots of tech earnings in the US. Let's talk about Google. Google's parent, Alphabet, saw a 24% increase in profits thanks to strong advertising demand as it continues to capture users and advertisers shifting to mobile. Amazon also clobbered Wall Street's earnings estimates with its killer retail business this quarter.
Yeah, Google is interesting because there was a worry a few years ago that in that transition, or that should I say exodus or migration from desktop to mobile, right, that their earnings would be affected. But it wasn't, because you see this very strong growth of over 20% for the quarter. And a lot of it is due to the fact that Android is being baked into a lot of mobile phones. And in fact, Google pays Apple to feature Android in the Apple phones. And it has paid off well because of this strong jump in revenue.
Yeah, we don't, you know, sometimes we gloss over the fact that Android as an operating system, it is so pervasive. And look, I mean, Google, we talked a couple of hours ago about how, you know, only about five or six companies control the internet. Right. And Google, they control the hardware, they control the software, the search engines, you know, they control YouTube. You know, I mean, it's scary.
You know, they give you so many things, right? Emails, Gmail, YouTube, and so on. But they don't charge you for any of those. The main revenue is advertising. Yeah.
But you know what, right? Google knows more about you than your mum.
Okay,
I would think so.
You know, yeah, I mean, you've been on their platform. I've been on their platform for about 15 years, and they know everything about me. So that's pretty scary.
Well, it depends on what you do, Chuang.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Yesterday, I was searching. I typed something to Google in the search engine. I typed something, and they have this feature that says "search in your Gmail account." So I think I typed in some random. I think it was Bar Council, and then all my email correspondence that had the word Bar Council in it popped up as well. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to search the World Wide Web and not my personal email account.
That's right. So everything, I think everything is going onto the cloud and the net. And it's very significant because we are seeing a world that has very little growth, but the tech world is just booming, right? Amazon is benefiting from that because everybody is moving their services onto the cloud. They managed to get a new customer recently, Salesforce, as well as General Electric, all moving their stuff onto the cloud and hiring Amazon Web Services for that purpose.
Well, you know, a few months ago, I was talking to Malik, the MD of BFM, and he was saying that, you know, Amazon, we don't give it enough credit, because when he was in the market, I think, for a server for BFM a few months ago, he actually bought from Amazon because it was the cheapest, right? And the thing is, in his estimation, if you're from 3,000 miles around the world, whatever, 1,000 miles, and you're buying stuff from Amazon, imagine the global impact on corporate earnings, and it's being borne out in these quarterly profits.
Yeah, apart from General Electric and Salesforce. Salesforce, by the way, is the Facebook for salespeople, right?
Yeah.
It's a pretty nifty app to have. The other customers of Amazon Web Services are Kellogg's, Brooks Brothers, Lionsgate, Macmillan Publishers in India.
How
what
diverse.
Have you?
Yeah. Yes.
And which is why Jeff Bezos has now been propelled to the third richest person in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, very quickly, we've got Samsung Electronics also set to announce their earnings, and they say they expect solid earnings going into the second half of the year. They reckon that the stronger components demand will likely offset the heightened margin pressures for smartphones.
So that's right. Their earnings are not coming from phones, but from components.
Yeah, so chips and memory chips and smartphone bits and bobs, that all that goes into your device.
Who would have thought, right?
So people are not buying the end. They're not making money on the end product. They're making money on the
components.
Upstream components.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, you know, Apple and Samsung are suing each other left, right, and center. In fact, Samsung sells a lot of stuff to Apple. Apple is a big customer of Samsung.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Apple has announced a $7 billion bond issue to do some share buyback.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.